Welcome, everybody, to the R&R CatCast, a fan-based podcast focusing on Montana State athletics. We're two dudes named Ryan from the state of Washington talking about our dear Montana State. We hope you enjoy. All right, welcome back, Bobcat fans. Thanks for joining us on another episode of the R&R CatCast. I'm Ryan Foley. He's Ryan Thornburg. We're your hosts. We are the Ryans of the R&R, the Montana State affiliate of the Big Sky Podcast Network. Hey, thanks for joining us. Whenever you're listening, thanks for the Bobcat Nation and all your support, even some Grizzly fans out there. I know you listen. All right. Hey, we're here to kick off the second half of the breakdown between the offense and the defense. That's what we'll be talking defense today. Thorny, how you doing tonight, buddy?
Doing great, man. I know it's a Wednesday night. We're recording this on the 23rd. You're heading out to Montana tomorrow, so we're getting this in before you head out. The next week, we're going to record our preview for Utah Tech. Because the season's starting next Saturday, not this Saturday, the next Saturday. That's crazy, man. I'm trying to find someone to come on the podcast and tell us a little bit about Utah Tech. Having a hard time finding that. Not too surprising there. But, yeah, I'm doing good, man. To circle back, fantastic for a Wednesday night here.
It's almost game week. Can't wait.
Almost. So sad I won't be here for it.
We will have some guest podcasters coming up when you're taking your sojourn to, where are you going? Germany? Is that right?
Germany, Austria, Ireland, and North Ireland, which is UK, I guess. I'm not entirely sure, but it's not Ireland. It's two different countries. But yeah, some good stuff.
One Tom Stuber, Tomcat. You might know him. He is a super fan for the Montana State Bobcats. I'm excited to announce his name. And then I want to make sure I have the other one dialed in before I talk about who the guest might be for the instant reaction shows. But I mean, Tom Stuber, I think that might be, I don't know, if we're comparing you to Tom, that might be like, you know, an upgrade maybe there, right?
Yeah, quite possibly. He's definitely connected. He's a good Bobcat fan. He's a good, he's just a good like journalist reporter, does good work for like Skyline and the various other outlets he's worked four over the years, so that'll be good. Good to have him on. I think it'll be a good treat.
Nice. All right. Look forward to that. But up until then, just got the Ryans. So, like I said, we're going to talk defense tonight. If you didn't catch the last episode, we broke down the offense. Had a lot of good Golden Cooley questions. We have some Golden Cooley questions to get through, and then I think that's all we got going on today.
The yin to the yang, defense, offense.
Right on. But before we do that, we need to talk about what's in our Golden Coolies.
What's in your Golden Coolie?
All right. Well, before I tell you what's in my Golden Coolie, we have a fun little announcement here. We're still kind of working through the details. We have a lot of that going on right now where we're rolling out some like sponsorship type situations, but we don't have everything quite dialed in just yet. A little bit late to the game, but we do have Wilbur Ellis, you may know them for your fertilizer and chemical needs in the Golden Triangle. Talk to Shay Richter. He's the guy you want to reach out for them. So he's going to be sponsoring. They're going to be sponsoring the Golden Cooley segment. So brought to you by Wilbur Ellis. So, Bully, what do you have in your Golden Cooley? I'm passing it back to you because I did that little blurb.
There you go. Johnny Utah, Point Break from Georgetown Brewing. It's a pale ale. I've had it on a couple times before. My wife had a six pack of this. I just reached into the fridge. Didn't want to go into the garage fridge, which I should have done because I still think I have some of that Bozone Amber in there when you were in town. But spoiler alert, maybe that's next week's beer. I'm not sure. Yeah. So anyways, there it is. Georgetown, Johnny Utah.
I love Georgetown. They make good beer, and I love that they're just a whole bunch of like Point Break themed beers. Because I got Bodies off Starchild, don't they? Or something. Don't they have one more from Point Break? They have something else from there. War Child. It's War Child, not Starchild. I'm thinking of What am I thinking of? Anyway, I have, speaking of sponsors, the ye old sponsor, Jeremiah Johnson. I got a Honey Wisen from Jeremiah Johnson that I grabbed over in Missoula a couple weeks ago. It's good stuff, man. Jeremiah Johnson makes a good beer, and they are now the official sponsor of the Big Sky Conference, so you can check them out everywhere, I guess. But yeah, drinking one of those tonight, so tasty, tasty way to start this discussion about the offense.
Defense.
Damn,
you're wrong
it
already.
All right. All right. Good start.
You know, speaking of sponsors, I did have, well, we do have some news, but we got to keep it mum a little bit. But a little tease, it could involve a merch store for the R&R, which is kind of cool. To be determined, some details getting ironed out. But yeah, I'd be pretty stoked for that. So we'll keep you posted when we can say a little bit more, but good stuff.
We got some soup simmering.
All right, cool. Well, so the format for the offense last week was we just went position by position, basically going down through the depth chart that was released in the 2023 summer kickoff prospectus. We're going to do the same thing for the defense, and we'll just annotate some comments on that. And from what we know and what we've been hearing, and we'll take some golden coolies thereafter.
All right. Sounds good. How much of a breakdown do you want to go? Do you want to go like defensive tackles versus DNs or just the whole D line at once? And corners versus secondary.
Let's go like the two deep. Let's just read it kind of like it is on the depth chart. That'll help me. I'll just like kind of just breeze down through it. And but then if you want to kind of collectively talk about the groups, we can certainly do that.
We just said we're going to talk about the groups. Now you want to read it all at once? Now I'm confused.
All right. Just follow my lead on this one. We're going to start off with the defensive end. Okay.
Okay.
So Brody Grebe is listed as a starter. He's from Melstone, Montana. His brother's on the team too. Did you know that? He has a little brother on the team. That's pretty cool. 6'3", 200. Well, let's just call him 250. These weights. Who knows, right? These might be from the spring.
Yeah,
he's a junior.
This is a spring roster you're looking at.
Okay. And then backing up Brody Grebe is we have Kenneth Iden the IV. A guy I'm really high on. He's a sophomore. He's 6'1", 241. Any thoughts on Grebe right there?
I mean, Grebe's a stud, man. I think he's going to have a big year in terms of his impact. His stats may not be real big, but he's a guy that... you know, he was voted preseason All-American, right? Or preseason All-Conference, excuse me. I'm pretty sure he was. But the point, like, you know, he has respect. Teams had to prepare for him. He's going to have a good year. I love Grebe on the strong side.
I could see Kenneth Iden popping over to what they call the rush side as well, or maybe vice versa. Maybe Brody holds on the rush side, and then Kenneth Iden goes on the other side. Getting both those guys on at the same time, I don't know, maybe that's a question for someone else besides us. I know Vim would know something like that if they would play at the same time. But Kenneth Iden, to me, is kind of one of my breakout stars of the year. I think he's going to be a guy that just we depend on. We need him, right? I mean, we talk about being the depth on the defensive line and the offensive line. He's a depth piece, and he could be certainly a starter for most teams in the Big Sky. So I'm really high on both these guys, all conference guys, both of them. They have that potential for sure. So we're pretty stacked right there.
So
are they Daniel Hardy? I don't know about that, but they're pretty stacked.
I mean,
they're awesome.
Who is Daniel Hardy? That guy was a freak athlete, number one. But going back to that, if you listen to our preseason preview episode, we had a listener Golden Cooley question about starters. You had to pick the starters for the offense. I had to pick the starters for the defense, pretending I'm the defensive coordinator. I had Kenneth Iden starting on the weak side, the rush side, over Ben Seymour, which, thinking on it now, might have been a little crazy. But the point is, like, I had him on that side, though. I think it should be like Seymour and Iden kind of switching back and forth, like you were saying. I'm not sure I really see Iden on the strong side, but maybe he developed that skill set now, and he's maybe more than just kind of a pass rushing specialist. Or maybe they want to have him and Seymour at the same time on passing downs, where you have two guys that can really get after the quarterback on both ends. I don't know.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there's enough talent and athleticism on here that I think Garza can play around a little bit with the where guys are lined up.
I thought Brody gave himself a little bit too much of a, you know, shadow or trying to live up to Daniel Hardy's, you know, exploits the year before. I thought Grebe was having kind of a hard time with that last year. I hope he bounces back because he was so good when he came on as a freshman. And then last year you always talked about, like, man, he looked like he got too big, like not flexible, maybe a step slower, but I don't know.
Yeah, I think they're just asking different things out of him, so it requires a different body type. I've kind of thought about that. So, I mean, he was the guy that came in and all he had to do was, like, be crazy and go after the quarterback when he was had the kind of a breakout freshman year. Last year, they asked him to bulk up and play the strong side. That's a whole different dynamic. And I still think he was effective from it, but hopefully another year learning and be even more effective.
Okay. Excellent stuff. All right, let's move on to defensive tackle. Well, we all know this guy, Sebastian Valdez. He's going to anchor the tackle right there, 6'3". Let's just call him 300. It's like 291, 294, somewhere in there. He's a junior. And then spelling behind him is a guy we hear a lot about, but we haven't seen a lot from, Zach Black, 6'4", 271 out of, I think, Meridian, Idaho. Somewhere correct. Down there by yep. Boise, right? So he's a sophomore. Apparently, they're really high on Zach. And we know the Black family, so we want to say hi to Gary and company. But yeah, I mean, that's a strong position for us right there. I mean, Sebastian Valdez is the dude, right? He's the name. He is the guy on the defense that when you think Montana State, you should think Sebastian Valdez.
Yeah, so this is I agree. Sebastian Valdez, and he's listed now currently at 284. So he's kind of that... you know, just that lean, wider body, but not like real thick kind of body frame. And I think it's perfect for what we ask out of him. And what I'm thinking with the starters here, and it's hard to talk about one defensive tackle without talking about the other, and because we're talking about depth here. All these guys are going to be rotating all over the place. So Blake Schmidt's the other guy right next to him. He's listed at 6'2", 288. I think he's primed to have a real big year. I think he gets kind of overlooked a little bit in the scheme of how good the defensive line is. I think he is almost as good as Valdez. I think he's right there. I think those two guys are some of the two best defensive tackles in the league. But where the Bobcats really need to improve is the depth. And you mentioned some guys already, Zach Black. I think the coaches are high on him. And he's going to have a big year. We're going to have to count on a lot of these guys to produce if you want to go deep in the playoffs. Because you're a guy that... been here for a couple years, and I'm hearing he had a pretty good camp, and he's the biggest and strongest he's been since he's been here is Blake Heal. He's 6'3", 273, number 33. Great number. Love that number. Man, if he can take one more step for his senior year, he's one of the few seniors along here, kind of take, you know, lean into that veteran role in his senior year, the backup role, but, you know, just kind of be a little bit of a leader and kind of get stuff done. I think Zach Black and Blake Heal, I think, are two guys that kind of like are important pieces for this defensive line to take a next step.
I think you're missing one guy in Paul Brott.
Yeah. No, I mean, he's under. I don't know. I didn't have him penciled in as like that important piece, but every single guy on here has to produce. But Brott will be called upon. Brott will play plenty. He's the young bup. I guess he's the same age as Black, sophomores, but seems like he's just a freshman for some reason.
So it's been kind of interesting, like, listening to all the fall camp stuff, and then, you know, I was able to view into that quarterback club meeting. I didn't get much information on the defensive line. There hasn't been like a spotlight, you know, that has come out from Coach Vegan talking about our depth here. And that's been a little bit concerning for me because I feel like every position you can talk about on the Bobcats, you're like, yeah, we've gotten better, or the depth is clearly deeper. maybe it's just because we were so reliant on Sebastian and Blake last year. We didn't see the likes of Zach Black all that much. And we didn't see Paul Broughton. Like you said, Blake Heel kind of took a step back. But I think in order to do what we want to do, we're going to have to be able to be deeper and more consistent across this front.
Absolutely. You are right. And we need to be deeper and frankly, a little bit bigger than we have been. And I'm not sure we're there. If you read Bobcat Nation, if you read guys like Vim or even Tom Stuber, I want to say that they had talked about the fact that the Cats were trying to bring in a defensive tackle transfer in the offseason. I could be wrong about that. Mm-hmm. That's going off memory. I think they wanted to bring someone in here. I don't know if they just struck out or maybe they use that scholarship for something else. I'm not sure. But, you know, there's some younger guys on the roster, but they're not as big. They still need time to develop. So the guys we mentioned there, they're going to be the ones kind of carrying it. And I don't know, like a guy like David Alston, who's a pretty big defensive end, if he could come inside and kind of do an Amandre Williams type situation here and there. But, you know, those are the guys. Those are the core guys. And they're going to have to stay healthy, and they're going to have to produce.
They did bring in a guy, looks like his name's Nicholas Corum from Bismarck, North Dakota, Central Lakes, JUCO. He's a junior, 6'2", 269.
Yeah, that's right. I do remember that. Now I'm looking at the roster. I haven't heard a single thing about him anywhere.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's even playing. Is he hurt? I don't know.
I think that Ryder Trujillo looks like a good freshman out of Orange County.
I mean, there's two guys on here that are pretty big names from Montana. I got Taylan Marsh and Zach Cruz. But those are, you know, those guys are both like ends. Marsh is listed as a DL, and he's 247, 6'1". I mean, he's not physically there yet, not to play on the interior anyway. Cruz, I think, is probably ready. You know, he hasn't played football in a while, so I know he's been in the weight room. Guy like that, sitting around waiting to get kind of back into football. We don't need to kind of hash out what happened with Zach Cruz, but, you know, this is probably, what, his third year in college? Or would be his third year after high school. He hasn't played the guinea, but I know he's been in the weight room. So he's probably like 20, pushing 21 years old at this point. So he's not just a freshman sitting there at 6'4", 228. He's older.
Yeah. I guess if you're talking defensive end, you know, beyond Ben Seymour and David Alston, who are 1-2 on the rush end, Hunter Parsons is a name that popped up to me that I think I've heard Coach Vegan talk about. So kind of the defensive end on that side. So a lot of young guys, a lot of unproven guys. I guess that's when we come back kind of full circle. We've talked about that and just the depth. We just haven't seen it. So depends on who's our defensive line coach? Sean Howe. Yeah. Really like that guy. Like he's been here the whole time with Vegan. Solid coach. When I talk to the parents who we know on the defensive line, all the players really love him.
And there was like a lot of hesitation when he was hired, I remember.
Yeah.
But people weren't happy with that for various reasons. I don't know if it was his track record, his resume, or the guy they're replacing that was really loved. Who was it?
Byron Hout.
Byron Hout, yeah. So I think it was just a case of, you're not Byron Hout. But I think he's proven to be a pretty good coach.
I wanted Byron Hout to be the head coach at
one. You did, yeah.
I was going down a deep dive at that time in my life. Choate was leaving. I was like, let's keep this thing going. He's a Choate guy.
It could still be in the cards, man, like down the road. So you could circle back.
There's, you know, we could have a whole episode on who could take over. Coach Vegan leaves, like who could take over, or, you know, we really, I mean, the elephant in the room with Willie Mack and Taylor House, right? You know, whatever happens on that front, you know, there's some good discussions to be had about who could fill in those positions. And I think there's the guys already. We know the guys that could be the dudes.
That sounds like a May podcast.
Yeah,
May, June, that one. Right in the middle of like, this late spring, early summer, when there's just nothing going on. All right, let's talk about Let's fantasize about who could replace Brent Vegan when he eventually moves on.
Yeah, right.
But
although we might be forced to talk about defensive and offensive coordinators, but we'll see what happens, man.
Yeah, there's some pending stuff happening there. We haven't talked a whole lot about that on this podcast. I just wonder a little bit how much of a distraction it ends up being during the season. And ultimately, if there's anything decided in court during the season, what happens? Like, what decisions are made? So there's just
have to
question
think,
marks.
Like, they're already planning for it. Like,
you would
scenario
think so.
A and scenario
they have
B. Like, there's already, yeah, there's already a, I don't know if pecking order is the right term, but there's a plan. There's a plan. There has to be a plan.
You told me before that you think Brent Vegan is playing chess when everyone else is playing checkers. And I know you mean that more in terms of like probably game planning and stuff, but I think it probably applies here too. I think he's got some moves planned out ahead, but not a fun situation for the Bobcats right now with this hanging over the head. It's bugging me. It's been eating me. I just want resolution one way or the other, you know?
Gotta be patient.
I know.
Gotta let this thing play out.
I know. And that's the official stance of Montana State, and it is what it is. Ben Seymour. Let's finish off the defensive line discussion here. We haven't talked too much about him, man. He's the rush end. You mentioned he's starting. I think he has to have a big year. I like Ben Seymour. I think he needs to be better, though.
Well, he's maxing his potential because he's only 240 pounds. He's not that big of a dude. So setting the edge at that size is hard. And he can help that. I mean, he is who he is.
He is who he is. So is he being utilized incorrectly then?
I don't know. Like, could David Alston, the guy spelling him, could take a step forward and be that guy. He's just been so streaky. Like, David Alston gets in there, he's like, holy cow. He flashes and then he just disappears. So we need some more consistency from him.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, both those guys are seniors too, by the way. That's one of the older positions we have right there.
Yeah, if David Alston can take a step forward and be like a guy you can rely on, that would help the defensive line tremendously. I haven't seen enough out of him to think that that's going to happen.
Go back to Montana State playing Weber State last year. First game. Go back to some of the games where we kind of struggled. Where did we struggle? We struggled with setting the edge. And if you can't set the edge, you don't have a defense. We need Ben Seymour, whoever's on that rush in, to do better job of that. So
yeah,
in general, the Montana State defense needs to take a step there.
No, I mean, we put our linebackers and our safeties in pretty bad positions last year, just like a running back just takes a handoff, angles to the right, and then just runs around the edge, and all of a sudden he's free.
Yeah.
And we did not tackle well a lot of times. There's a lot of problems with the defense last year, but, you know, you're putting guys in one-on-one tackling situations. That's never easy.
No.
So,
no.
Anyway, I think the defensive line will be better. I don't know if is it national championship? Can they stop Isaiah Davis and South Dakota State level yet? TBD. I'm not writing them off, but I'm not saying they're there.
No. Right? That's a good way of putting it. A lot changes throughout the season, too.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Everybody's going to make a huge deal when we play the Jackrabbits in 3 weeks about, like, oh, man, it's going to mean this, it's going to mean that.
It's not going to mean a whole lot, honestly.
No. You look at, just take a look at the Grizzlies, you know. When they get big wins early on in the season, like if we come out of that and we're number one in the nation, I mean, that's a whole nother narrative, like, right? But I don't think it's going to mean much either way. It's a litmus test. You know, it's going to be fun for the fans, but it's going to be so far removed from November, December, when we finally get there, that people will be like, oh yeah, big game, but it's going to be all about that last month before we get into the actual
You want to talk
playoffs.
About a season that had craziness? 2006. You know what I'm talking about. We beat Colorado. Then we lose to Division II Chadron State. Then we lose to Northern Colorado, who was just transitioning, I think. I don't remember. They might not have been the Big Sky. They're in the Big West, maybe, but they're early in their D1 era. And then we lost to UC Davis, like 0-45. We lost three straight games. And then we rattled off a bunch of wins and made the playoffs and won our first playoff game since 1984. So what happens in the beginning of the season ultimately doesn't matter in the end. It matters for seeding. It matters for seeding. So that when you're at the level that we are at right now, it does matter because you want to win that game and you want to get yourself a top two seed. But ultimately, if you lose that game in Brookings, it doesn't mean you can't beat them again later in December.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. We've only done the line so far. Let's move on, buddy. Keep going down that little thing. I'm looking at the actual roster while you're looking at the spring too deep. I guess the media days too deep.
I'm actually looking at my notes. You know I wrote this out, man. Old school.
Yeah.
All right. Let's talk about the Will linebacker. We got basically the 4-2-5, so we have two sets of linebackers, the Will and the Mike. So starting at the Will, we got Nolan Askelson. Starting at the Mike, we got Danny Ulukepa. Nolan, a guy I got to interview in Spokane. Man, that guy is so solid. 6'1", 231 senior. Danny is 6'1", 222 junior. Here's a question for you. Who do you expect to have a bigger season, Danny or Nolan?
That's a great question. Who do I expect to have a bigger season is probably Askelson. Who do I hope has a bigger season is Danny U.
See, I would just flip-flop. I would say I expect Danny to have a bigger season, to be kind of that maybe pushing, you know, second team, first team kind of guy. He could be that guy. That's his ceiling, his first team. Big Sky right now. There is a young crop of linebackers coming behind them that are making waves right now. Namely, Makeda Riley. He's going to be the third linebacker in the mix of everything. He will play both positions per Vegan. And apparently, he just picks it up. And he looks faster than Callahan to me, side to side. I'm really stoked for that guy. Another guy you're gonna know about is Neil Daly, another young guy, sophomore, 6'3", 231. So where we didn't have good depth in linebacker last year, I think we have some two solid guys to spell Nolan and Danny if they have to.
And I wouldn't write out Cole Bullock, who's a transfer from the College of the Canyons. He's kind of that in that mix for that third or fourth linebacker spot right there with Makeda Riley. They're both juniors. I'm looking at the roster right now. Makeda Riley is only listed at 6'2", 214. That's like Mac Bignell size. That's even like smaller than Mac Bignell. And you're talking about like faster than his brother? Well, I'm pretty sure he's 30 pounds lighter than his brother. I'm pretty sure Callahan was running in the 240s by the time he was a senior.
Gosh, that O'Reilly family's just deep with talent.
Yep. But yeah, we got four guys there I think are going to be solid. And you got, like you said, a bunch of younger guys behind that, redshirt freshmen and freshmen and a couple sophomores mainly. But those are going to be the four guys I think you want to keep an eye on that will get playing time. They'll all play in various ways. But do you think the linebacker group is going to be better or worse than last year or maybe on par?
I think better, to be honest. I think we'll have more depth. It's going to be hard to replace a guy like Callahan. So as far as like star power, maybe Danny, you could take that. I really hope Nolan stays healthy. But overall, I feel more comfortable going in with our linebackers this year because I think our depth is better, mainly with McCade back there. He's flashed in the spring game. Coach Vegan talked about him here in the fall. He's going to be a guy that will be an emerging star for the Bobcats.
All right. Can't say I disagree with that.
All right. Let's move on to the nickel. And this has been a well-talked-about contest between Kane Dowler and Lavelle Price Jr. Two different guys. I could see Lavelle Price Jr. being the coverage nickel, where Caden's more like the box nickel. And Caden's going to become the new Kyle Cotta. I think that's what Montana State wants him to become. We've heard really good things. It's time to see it now. You know, us fans are just hearing. We want to watch this now. So where Taco was the whole, the star last year, now Keaton has that shine. I hope he can live up to it because he's been getting a lot of publicity in the media. So he's 6 foot. So he's taller than his brother. About 200 pounds, both sophomores, right? And then Lavelle. Man, if you hadn't caught Lavelle's interview on 406 the other week, what a standout guy. Super pumped that guy's a Bobcat. Like, talked about just, like, you know, things have been hard for him. You know, he's been, you know, working at getting some playing time here and there, and he just done it. He's done it the right way. He stuck with it, worked hard. Now he's getting his shot. So super happy for him. But quite a bit different. 5'8", you know, 194. He's a senior. Started out as a corner, so he has that corner ability. I could see those guys switching depending on the down. I could see Lavelle coming in and passing downs, maybe Caden coming in. I don't know. I think Caden's going to blitz. I think they'll use him as a blitzer as well. So, hard to say.
It's hard to say. I do think that you're right on the split. I think both guys will play, and I think it will be dependent on the down and situation. You say 194 on that two deep, Lavelle Price? That's pretty funny. I've been kind of like watching what you've been saying, and some of it is like they're lighter, and some of it's like Lavelle Price is 184 on the official roster. Like 194 sounds pretty bulky for Mr. Price. No offense, Mr. Price. 5'8", 194 is a pretty stout figure. But I feel pretty good about it. Like, it's going to be hard to replace Ty Okada, one of my all-time favorite Bobcats to ever play, and who just got better and better and got himself all the way worked into like a tryout spot with the Seahawks, which is insane, impressive for what he started out with, like the size of him, like coming into Montana State, like the pictures of him as a freshman, just a scrawny little guy. And time he was like a senior, was just beefcake for his frame. But then the other guy we've heard a lot about, or at least I had previously, I haven't heard about him too much lately in the fall camp, I guess, is Aiden Parks, the guy that I think he's another guy that could be potentially mixing it in there. He is a 6 foot, 219 pound sophomore, man. He was a highly regarded recruit coming into Montana State as a linebacker. I remember him being one of my favorite guys of the class that he was in. I thought he could be the star, but he hasn't really found his footing yet. But perhaps moving him to safety or nickel, you know, he might be able to find some playing time and kind of show what he can do. So I think we've got three pretty good choices there to replace Okada, who was kind of the everything guy there. But it's interesting looking at the roster here. They do have Ryland Ort listed officially on the website, safety/nickel. And there's only three guys that have that designation. It's Ryland Ort, Caden Dowler, and Lavelle Price.
Yeah, because Ryland Ort plays strong safety. I think some of the roles get the same on the nickel there. I think nickels is, in this 4-2-5 defense, is a star position. It is a very important position in this defense. I think going forward, you'll see like star players playing nickel for Montana State. It's going to be something, you know, when you talk defense on Montana State, you will know who the nickel is going forward. And I think they want Caden to take that role. But I'm also really stoked to see Lavelle out there. So I'm tickled, man. I can't wait to watch these two guys.
Kind of like the old buck position with Jamie Marshall and Rob Ash. That was like, you knew who it was, and he was damn good. That's kind of like how it is now with the nickel. You're right there. I think that's a good observation.
Okay. Now let's get into the secondary, the much maligned secondary from last year. Everybody was complaining about, including us. This is where I think we're going to take some big steps going into this season. Start on one corner. We have Miles Jackson and Devin Davis. And we're going to talk about a lot of these dudes where we haven't seen them. There's going to be a lot of rotation in there. Miles Jackson's 5'11", 190 junior. Devin Davis is listed as 6'1", 195 sophomore, at least on mine. You're shaking your head over there.
Oh, no, I was burping. trying to disguise my burp.
Devin Davis was slated to start last year before he got hurt. I think he got hurt right in camp or something. Yeah. So he's
had a rough go.
Talk about another guy who had such a good interview with 406, right? He just seems like such a likable guy. And man, I'm just rooting for it. Like, he gained a fan in Ryan Foley for sure. So I think Devin Davis could play both sides of the corner, but any thoughts on those two dudes?
I really like Devin Davis. I like his size. Obviously, you look at it, 6'1", 195.
Yeah.
If you can get a guy who can cover pretty well in the Big Sky Conference at that size, that's a huge, huge plus. And I think Miles Jackson is a guy that they've been high on for a couple of years, and we've been kind of waiting for Miles Jackson. Like, he was a pretty highly recruited guy himself. Like, okay, he's a junior. I've always kind of said, like, if by the time you get to be a junior, you got to kind of start, you know, producing, right?
Yeah.
If you're either going to fade into being a role player, backup player, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Or you need to take that step by the time you're a junior. And I think Miles Jackson has that ability to do that. He's 5'11", 194, which is pretty good size, especially in the FCS, in the Big Sky. 5'11 is plenty big. So we got some pretty tall cornerbacks, and I think I feel a lot better about the position group than I did last year.
So this spot, opposite of Simeon Woodard, the other corner, this is where we could see a freshman come in, and the name that's been popping right now is a guy named Andrew Powgill, 165-pound freshman from, I think, Woodland, Texas. What's his height there? I haven't seen.
5'10", 171.
5'10", 171, yeah. Well, Coach Vegan was talking really highly of this guy, and we got to see some tape.
Oh, you're talking about, QVC. I'm sorry. Andrew Power. Yeah, he's 5'10", 164.
5'10", 164, okay, yeah. Insanely fast, one of the fastest guys on the team. Insanely strong. And the highlights we got to see from him, Thorny, just a dog. Holy cow. Like, hitting hard. It's like a heat-seeking missile, like just shedding. He was just around the ball. And you're like, wow, it speaks for itself. So don't be surprised if we start seeing that guy opposite of Simeon. And that's, you know, that's assuming Simeon gets better at man coverage. We all know he had some struggles with that. He's going into his junior year, but I'm assuming he's going to be one of the starting corners. Yeah. There's just a name to keep in mind. Put that in your back pocket, Andrew Powgill. And this is, we talked about this last week too, right? This is one of the positions where young guys can play. I mean, if you have the talent, you can play as a freshman.
Yeah,
at defensive back.
It's one of the weird positions where a lot of times a guy will come out as a freshman and then they won't be as good, or they won't have as good of a year anyway.
Sophomore slump?
Yeah, it just seems to be like that's a position where that kind of can happen sometimes. And maybe that's what happened with Simeon a little bit. So I expect a good year out of Simeon Woodard. I expect him to be the starter. I expect him to have that side locked down. But there's a battle happening for, you know, spelling him, being that opposite side of him, and then maybe be even being like the third defensive back, cornerback on the field in certain packages. Because, like you said, Andrew Powgill, from all, you know, that kind of reminds me a little bit of Jalen Cole, except he's got a better size. Cole was an absolute menace for being 5'8", and that was kind of his downfall. That's how he got injured a lot, and his career at Montana State kind of got derailed because he just couldn't stay healthy, but he was not afraid to hit somebody. And you love having that kind of guy on the team. And if Andrew Powdrell is that kind of guy, he'll work his way into the starting lineup. Mm-hmm. But a guy I've heard a lot, some talk about too, from Brent Vegan. I listened to the interview today from Victor Flores. They're talking a little bit about John Johnson too, the transfer from El Camino Community College. He is 6 foot, 171. He was not here in the spring, or he may have been in the summer, I don't know, but he was not here in the spring. I've heard he's making some waves. He's a junior. He's 6 foot, 171. I think I already said that, but he's got a good size. We've got a whole bunch of guys in that 5'11", 6'1 range, which is great. So I really like this defensive back room. And those are just like the older guys that are fighting for spots. There are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, like 8 more defensive backs listed on the roster. With some notable names like Cade Cutler, J.J. Dolan, Takari Carr, Brock Steele. Younger brother.
Jackson Harmon.
Coy Steele. Yep, Jackson Harmon. Harmon's on here. And then Taki Ulivakipa, Mr. Mm-hmm. Taki U. We'll have to call him. So there's a lot of talent in this room, and I think that they're going to be much improved. My only concern is is talent the problem at Montana State last year, or is it some coaching issue? Willie McGarza, if you look back at his defenses when he was a secondary coach at McNeese State, they were not good passing defense. Yeah. And he steps into a defensive coordinator role at Montana State, and we were not good at a lot of things in the secondary. So is it a talent problem? Is it coaching, or just like, hey, it's his first year, he's kind of getting his system installed. Now he's got some of his guys. I don't know. But it has to be better. It has to improve. And I have a good feeling it will.
Coach Choate used to say he would recruit 5 to 6 defensive backs, hoping 2 would stick. Is that where you're at on these guys?
We had so many defensive backs leave the program.
Yeah, we had some trouble.
And that was part of the problem last year. Remember, we had the, oh man, who's that like stud guy we had transfer to Sac State? What was his name? Like our best cornerback. That's going to drive me crazy.
I think that was 2 years ago. But yeah, I know who you're talking about.
But yeah, coming into the season, we had a guy. Oh, and then the other guy, that was highly recruited, just like walked away from football or went back home. There was some attrition last year, into the summer, into the fall, that made the position look a lot worse. So I think you're right, though. You kind of have to have that many guys. That's why there's so many listed on the roster. Because eventually, you know, or you might move guys around or something, but you got to have a lot of guys back there.
All right. Let's talk about the safeties, the strong safeties, and the free safeties. We'll start with the strong safeties. Kid out of Missoula, junior, Rylan Ort. Big year for him. 6'1", about 200 pounds, 200 plus.
They got him at 207 now.
Yeah. I see him as maybe having that vocal leadership Okada had. He seems like that guy to me. Like, he's going to be the guy that knows everybody's role, can get everybody lined up. Just a leader out there for us. Huge, huge year for him. And he's only a junior. Super stoked for that, right? Spell on him, we got Kendrick Bailey, who's a senior. We saw Kendrick a lot last year, 6'1", 205, big rangy dude. Free safety, Drew Polidor. This is the guy coming out of camp right now that I've heard most things about, and the tape I got to see on him. Man, the way they're using him, he just looks like a beast. I'm telling you, Thorny, Drew Polidor is looking good. The transition to free safety for him looks just perfect. We talked about that in the spring, too. His length, his ranginess, he just looks like a free safety. So, to be seen in games, but in camp, the returns are just off the charts with Drew. He's all over the place. They have him in the backfield. He can cover that third of the field that he's covering really well. He's got good instincts. He just moves well. He like I said with what was his face? Andrew Paldrell, how he kind of seems like a heat-seeking missile, kind of. He just finds the ball. This is what I'm seeing from him. And behind him, we got Tyson Pottinger, a sophomore, a guy we saw a lot last year as well. Got burned quite a few times last year.
He had a rough go as a freshman.
Let's take your lumps.
Not beat around the bush. That was a tough year as a freshman. That's what happens in the safeties or cornerbacks a lot of time, though.
Yeah. But a bright future for him as well.
Yeah. Polidor, I was surprised, didn't play very much last year. He had like his first camp as a Bobcat. He had like 3 interceptions in the scrimmage at corner. Yeah. And I don't remember if he was dinged up last year or if they're trying to preserve his red shirt or something like that, because he's only listed as a sophomore and he was a Air Force prep, right? Not Air Force, but Air Force prep. I don't understand any of that kind of stuff. But yeah, 6'2", 186. But he doesn't look like it, though. Well, what I mean by that is, like, you'll see, okay, some other cornerbacks we have on the roster are like 6'1", 180, but they look like scrawnier. Like, Polidor, like, looks like a linebacker.
Yeah.
He's got huge arms. So it's like 186 seems like that's it. Like, he seems like he is bigger than that. He's a big body. He's just got like a wide frame, maybe is what it is. He's just got a bigger frame. He doesn't have that like real kind of skinny, quick cornerback frame. He's built. And I think he's going to do great at the role. I believe I picked him when we did that episode about the preseason picking the whole conference. I had picked him as my breakout player on the defense. And the only thing I've heard from you and from other people all camp long is like, that's just reaffirming my pick. I think Polidor is going to be, he's going to make a name for himself in this conference this year.
It's amazing how finding the right position for a certain player can just set them off.
Yeah. No, there's been some plenty of that in the, even just Bobcat, you know, lately, guys switching positions and excelling. And I think I expect big things out of him. Ryland Ort, you know, he, after his little suspension he served, which, man, how unfortunate was that? I don't know. I don't remember the whole details of it. I don't think he did anything on purpose, but he had to miss the national championship game because of it, which just got to be gut-wrenching. And then he missed a bunch of time last year, and they couldn't get him reinstated. Who knows what was going on there? Red tape. Who knows? But he got back in, and everyone was just, I remember the prevalent thinking was, Ryland Ort's going to fix this defense. Like, just day one. I think there's people that were that hopeful, and it didn't turn out to be the case. Yeah. But he got better and better as the year went on, though. So I think now, going into his junior year, I expect him to have like an all-conference level season. He is that talented. He's that big, 6'1", 207. That's plenty big. He's rangy. He tackles pretty well in space. He's one of the better tacklers in the secondary. I don't know if anybody back there is an elite tackler, but I know if you guys back there are not great tacklers. So the fact that he is, I think he's pretty darn good tackler. I think that's going to be just fine. I think a combination of him and Polidor is going to be an imposing, good combination for the big sky.
I think we'll ask a lot out of our safeties because we play a lot of man coverage.
Yes.
We're not just playing like two high shells where you're just taking a quarter of the field, right? So Ryland is almost like he has duties where, you know, he has to come up in the box just like a nickel. You know, he almost, it's almost like a nickel hybrid, right? Yeah, we ask a lot of these guys. They need to know a lot of what's going on. They need to be aligned correctly. These are tough positions. Young guys are going to take their lumps here. But between Polidor and Ort, I think that's a really good 1-2 tandem right there.
Yep.
I think better than we've probably had in a while, to be honest.
They kind of use Ort, and I didn't really make this connection, and I'm blanking his name. It's going to kill me. He reminds me, and he has the ability to be like that Bryson McCabe. That's who it is.
Hmm.
Remember him?
Yeah.
The safety for Jimmy Marshall, transferred from South Dakota State, I'm pretty sure. He was like 6'1", 220. He was pretty big, but they used him a lot at the line of scrimmage. He was a really good tackler. He was really hard.
Who's your favorite safety of all time?
I mean, that's an easy answer, man. It's Ryan Force.
Oh, serious?
Yeah, man. I loved Ryan Force. That's my formative Bobcat years. Unless you're someone that's like head and shoulders above anybody I liked in that mid-2000s range, there's a lot of guys that are top of list still.
Like Ryan Force over Kane Ioan?
Yeah.
Oh, whoa.
Honestly, like I didn't really, like Kane Ioan doesn't have a lot of Bobcat memories with me. I think he was kind of on his way being a senior when I still wasn't really paying much attention to Bobcat football.
Okay, fair enough.
So I think that's the problem is that I just wasn't really into Bobcat football just yet. So that's kind of the same way with Ryan Johnson a little bit with me. Like yeah, most sure. of his career was spent before that 2002 season, which kind of cemented me as a fan. That was his senior year, right? Like he got to play, and I didn't really even pay a whole lot of attention that 2002 year either. It was like 2003 is when I became like mega super Bobcat dude.
All right.
It took some time.
Man, there's our defense.
All right. Well, we have to talk about, well, I guess let's wrap up some thoughts overall on the defense. Anything else you want to say? Just the entirety, the group?
Well, I think we're going to get into some of the thoughts I want to say when we read the Golden Cooley questions. So I'm not going to say too much right now unless you have like a pointed question for me.
I don't have any questions. I just you know, this is the group that needs to improve. I think the offense is going to be better than they were last year. The defense doesn't have to be elite, I don't think, but they have to be better than they were last year.
Yeah.
And are they good enough to stop the Dakotas from running for 300 yards a game?
I don't know, man.
I don't know either. I wish I could say like, oh yeah, man, we got this.
But it's not like black and white right there, because then you could say, well, if we're not, can we outscore them? And we might be able to outscore everybody.
Maybe. But again, that goes back to the improved passing ability too.
Yeah. So much to be answered, right?
So many questions.
But that's why we love it, man. That's why we do this. That's why it just matters so much more every time you get deep and deep into the playoffs. So we're all going to watch the first month. It's going to be beautiful weather, but keep in mind, fans, that the first month doesn't necessarily dictate the last push.
Oh,
right?
There's going to be over and under how many coaches are fans wanting to be fired.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's where we're at right now. So, like, that's like a curse of being a good team, is just the, you know, hyperbolic takes and craziness on the Bobcat Nation. And I'm not on Twitter anymore, but you love it and you see it every day. You get to see the worst of America right there.
Like, what if we come out and we beat Utah Tech like 17-7? The Bobcat Nation will explode.
Meltdown City. Implosion.
And I will be grumpy too. Like, you know, we will, but yeah, just got to take those steps back.
Yeah.
So, all right. So I know you got some Golden Cooley questions at the end, but we need to talk a little bit about the specialists.
Oh yeah.
We got it. We got to do it. The new guy, the tall drink of water, the 6'9" punt it out of the stadium. Oh my gosh. And I don't, what is his name? I don't have it on in front of me. That's really good podcasting.
Let me consult
Brendan
notes.
Hall. I knew it was there. It is Hall. I just can remember his first name. All right. Yeah, 6'9", 232. Transferred from SMU. He's a junior. Heard pretty much nothing but good things about what he's been doing in camp and everything. He's got a lot of hang time on his punts. I don't know about
his
accuracy.
People say it sounds different.
People say it sounds different. Well, it's probably because you have to drop it an extra 2 feet, you know? There's a whole debate
it
on that.
It spins different. It's knuckling up there. People are having trouble catching it.
He's basically Randy Johnson of punters.
Yeah.
The big
hang
unit.
Times,
can we just call him the big unit?
10
can
seconds.
Can we dub that right now?
Just joking. That's ridiculous.
10-second hang time.
Who's our puncher last year?
The ball
Bryce
catches
Layton?
Fire as it re-enters the atmosphere. Who was what? Sorry.
Was it Bryce Layton last year who was our punter?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And he was fine.
Yeah, so
he was fine.
The thing I heard was if Bryce got 4 seconds, that was good. If Brendan's getting 4, it's bad. So just his ability to not only get 40 to 50 yards on the pump, but 4 to 5 seconds of hang time, that's huge for us. And because it's that high and has some wicked spin, apparently, it's really hard to track. It's kind of like a foul ball that just moving on you. So people are predicting lots of turnovers. You know, a lot of guys muffing the punt, and it's good to see. So, you know, we got him for a year. He's a senior, right?
Well, he's listed as a junior.
Never mind. I was wrong. We got him.
My question is, if Mr. Rocket Leg put the spin on the ball, no one can catch it, weapon, why did he transfer from SMU? I mean, it says he's mechanical engineering, so that could just be the simple answer right there.
Yeah.
But I doubt he lost his job at SMU, or did he? If he lost his job at SMU. I don't know. Punting's a weird... I've always felt like kicking, like if you can kick, it doesn't really matter where you play. You're not playing against competition. I guess you can... You're now... Can you handle giant stadiums with all the pressure? You'd want maybe someone who'd been kicking at Penn State versus Montana State. But if you can kick at 60 yards, a 60-yard field goal, consistently, they'll find you no matter where you play.
Correct.
So, I don't know. You can punt wherever you want. Maybe he just wanted to change the scenery. Maybe he hates Texas.
It's pretty hot there in the summer. Hey, so Casey Kotchman's the only other guy who has, like, kicking duties. And we do have Sam Snead or some sort of – I'm not looking at the roster right now, but there is another guy that's a freshman. But Casey Kotchman could be in the mix for place kicking, but other than that, and Kotchman's out of Butte, and so there's another Butte story for us. But Brenton Hall has pretty much punting and kickoffs on lockdown.
No, so he has kind of taken that kickoff role. I'm not sure I'd known that.
I think so. And then we have our preseason All-American Tommy Sullivan snapping.
Yeah, thank you for bringing him up. Gotta mention Tommy. He's a weapon, man. He's an asset to the team.
Oh, absolutely.
He's really good. Just look at our first game against Weber State last year, doing the importance, the value of a good long snapper.
I went back and watched that Weber State game recently, and I still had all the feels. It was frustrating as heck to watch that game. And then it was also fun to watch Jay, oh my gosh, I'm blanking on his name right now, Jay Hill. There it is, the coach. Who's not the coach anymore.
No.
Just lose his mind on the sideline.
I mean, what do you do, man? What do you do?
I don't know.
It's just not your day if your long snapper is snapping the ball over your punter's head four times.
All right. Just
give it up.
Okay. Can we move on to some Golden Cooley questions?
Yeah, of course.
All right. Some good ones. Some new guys coming in. I love this. All right. Let's see here. Joe Catch Joe with another good one. Man, this guy asks good questions. If you could add any former Bobcat great to our secondary, who would you add? He says Keen Ione, but the smart pick might be Joey Thomas. A lot of responses to this one, by the way.
I don't have it up.
Are you going Ryan Force?
No, I'm picking Joey Thomas.
Joey Thomas?
Because I think our safeties are okay. I think we need more help at corner.
Oh, so you're picking like right now. Okay.
Yeah. If I could draft a player in his prime to come play on the roster right now, we need help at corner. Joe Thomas.
Okay. I probably would pick that, but I'm going to try to be a little bit different than you. Just because why not? Troy Anderson. Skinny Troy Anderson.
What was the question?
If you could add any former Bobcat great to our secondary.
The secondary? When did Troy play in the secondary?
Well, he kind of did. Like, he could do really anything. His senior year, when he played Mike, we asked him to do a lot. So I'm saying take 10 pounds off him. He could run with anybody. Troy would have been the best strong safety ever. If we would have put him at strong safety, I pick Troy.
Can you bring back a player to a position group that he never played?
When his name's Troy Anderson, you can.
Yeah, true.
Okay, I admit, Joey Thomas is the right pick, but I'm trying to be a little bit different. Troy Anderson.
You bring back
playing strong safety.
Bring back Ty Okada for another year of eligibility. I wouldn't mind that.
Good. Yeah, that'd be up there.
It would be up there. Kane Ione. Very solid pick, too.
Gosh, man, Kane just crushed people. Like, the way he hit was just different. Like, I know you're in love with Ryan Force, and Ryan Force was a great, great safety. Like, to come after Kane Ione, he filled the shoes really well. But Kane had so many tackles, and he hit guys so hard. It was unreal to watch. Yeah.
I wish there was, like, highlights of that out there.
Gosh, I should go watch. And I just remember being like, how's that guy just continue to make tackles like that? Because he would just square dudes up and just just demolish them. I was like, holy cow. I'm like, that guy's knocked out. And Kane would just pop up. He's like, yep, another play. Let's keep going.
No, good question.
He was a dude. Yeah. Great question. All right. Next one. Bleeding Blue, who's online right now. What's your biggest worry? With this defense, Good question.
It looks relatively the same, that all the issues we had last year are still issues.
Yeah, I don't know if I believe with that. Mine would be the depth on the defensive line. I need to see it to believe it.
Yeah, I still feel like there's going to be a running back running off to the right. He goes around the edge, and nobody can tackle him in space.
Yeah.
I should rephrase that. If I had to guess, a worry that still exists. I actually don't think that's going to happen. But that's like my biggest worry, I guess.
All right.
Real or not.
That's a really good question, by the way, because I think a lot of people have worries about this defense in general. I think, Ryan, would it be accurate to say that your worry comes back to the fact that Willie Mack Garza is our defensive coordinator?
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
If you're going to put my feet to the fire, I don't think it's a talent problem.
Mm.
I don't think last year, okay, maybe a little bit. We had some guys that probably wouldn't start on many other Bobcat defenses of the past. But that doesn't mean you can have a team that doesn't have a lot of talent that still is more fundamentally sound and plays better football than what we saw on defense last year. So I'm not sure it was. I got Kendrick Bailey is a guy we picked on a little bit last year. I'm not sure he is as bad as he looked last year. Did he get put in bad positions? I don't know. I mean, there's all sorts of that kind of story. Like, is it Kendrick Bailey or is it just kind of the coaching? So, yeah, I mean, I'm not sold on Garza
yet. Is it not the same scheme as Freddie Banks?
Yeah, I mean, it could just be the fact that we don't have Troy Anderson and Daniel Hardy.
Yeah.
If we would have gone back to Freddie Banks' scheme and Troy Anderson got hurt and Daniel Hardy got hurt at the same time and Chase Benson got hurt, does the defense look like it did last year? Maybe.
Well, Freddie Banks went to Colorado State and they were getting whacked.
Yeah, they were terrible. So, he got his payday, he moved on. I'm not sure that was a good move for him in the long run. That's just 1 year though. But it's hard to say. That's a great question. It's really hard to know what the issue was last year. But
Bleeding Blue, that is a fantastic question. It's not nuanced because it's so big. It's not going to win the Golden Coolie today, but that is a great question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Rich K says, if Fonse was used as a punt blocking specialist on defense, would it be worthwhile to try Tommy in that role?
No.
Agreed. Keep him healthy.
Yeah. That's my, no. I think he would do awesome at that. I'm sort of thinking like, you know what? No, because the guy will punt it and he'll block it with his hand and he'll break his hand.
Yeah.
He'll break his hand blocking a punt.
No, you take a guy who has comp speed like Paljell, like the guy we were talking about earlier, put him in there. Yeah. Don't sacrifice.
Well, there was something that Afonso did, some magic he had. It's not just about speed. It's like bursting through, being able to burst through the tackles. So it's like you want a guy who can break tackles.
Yeah.
Like put like Jared White or something in there.
That's a good point. I like that one. And we have enough running backs. We could do that.
Yeah. Put Garrett Kuhn.
Garrett Kuhn.
He's got the size too. All right. If we're looking for a running back who's blocking punts, Garrett Kuhn's the man.
Questions. CNC Cat, new recruit, only 8 posts on Bobcat Nation. Will Willie Mack Garza coach the defense for every game this season? He has a couple questions. So first of all, quick take on that.
I don't know.
I don't think he will.
Yeah, I'm leaning towards he won't. I don't know why though. I don't have any good reason for that.
Yeah.
Gut.
Second question he asked is last year's sack total was 31. Do we beat it? And he set the over under at 37.5.
So 31, including all the playoff games?
He didn't. I don't know.
Well, 31 seems pretty low. If regular season, that's only like what, 3 sacks a game? Yeah, we can beat that.
Okay.
37.5.
Over or under 37.5?
Over.
Woo! Gosh, man. That's tough.
It is tough.
Let's see. Last year, Seabass led the team with 7.5 sacks. Who will be the clubhouse leader? And then he answers his own question again. Kenneth Iden is his dark horse. No, my money's on Kenneth Iden. He says my dark horse is Blake Schmidt. 7.5 sacks. Who do you think leads the team in sacks this year?
Is it a not defensive lineman? Does a guy like Danny Yu get 8 sacks and lead the team in sacks?
I see. I don't know if we're going to blitz our linebackers. It's
not really what
blitz
we do.
Nickel. No.
So I would pick, I'll say Ben Seymour. If he's healthy all year, I'll pick Ben Seymour.
I'll say Kenneth Iden. I think that guy has the juice, and I just think they use him during the passing downs, the third downs. So I'm going to go Kenneth Iden. Good questions.
Did you skirt the over and under on the sack totals?
See.
You said, yeah, that's pretty hard. And you started, then you went right into another question.
I think it's going to be under.
Okay.
I mean, considering, let's say we played 12 games. I don't know. What are we going to play? 15 games, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Like, right. If we play that much, then over. But if we only play, like, let's say conservative 12, then I'm saying under. That's what makes it a good over and under.
Yeah, it's a good one. He said it. Yeah. He said it right. My initial thought was under, but I know Jeff Choate was always shooting for that 40 sack season stuff. So we can do it.
All right.
We can do it.
Got another one from Rootin' for the Cats. Another new recruit. Only 5 posts on Bobcat Nation.
We're just drawing them out.
Guys.
They just,
I know, I love it.
They want to comment so badly on our content, I guess.
If the defensive coordinator vacancy happens, ... Who is the one current or former, living or dead, MSU coach you would most likely like to see step into the DC role?
Living or dead?
Living or dead.
Ooh.
Step into the DC role.
That's a good question. Have you thought about this? I need some time to think about that.
Oh, yeah. I've thought about this.
Okay.
And I can't. I'm going to say Jeff Choate.
What is it? Was the question that you had to pick a coordinator or just a coach? Okay.
Yeah, let's see. I got to click on. This is why I need a double screen. I don't have a double screen yet. Who is the one current or former, living or dead, MSU coach?
Okay, any coach you want. All right, Jeff Choate's a solid answer. Man, that's a tough question. Who would you say is the best defensive coordinator Montana State's ever had? I mean, my knowledge of the Bobcats, like post like 2000, is not great. I probably couldn't name a single defensive coordinator from the 90s.
I would say probably Ken Ione. When Jeff Choate was, Greg Urach was pretty good, actually.
I mean, I had 2 names come to mind immediately. One was Freddie Banks. Just to keep the continuity right back. Everyone still knows Freddie. The guys know him. Like, Freddie's back. The other one is, and I'm going to butcher his last name, Pete Kwiatkowski, who was the defense coordinator under Kramer, has gone on to be like a big time collegiate defense coordinator, Pete K.
Oh, yeah.
So his defenses were tough, man. Those Kramer defenses when he was there were stuff you at the line. You're not getting a yard ever. There's no bend and break. It's all just punch you in the face all the time.
Yeah, PK.
And that's how his defenses were at UW, right? The same thing.
No, he's a defensive coordinator over at Texas now with Choate. AF Cat says already on the staff, Daly. I think Bobby Daly's the next guy.
I think he's the next guy.
Yeah,
and that might be sooner than later.
Colorado Cat says there's a certain position coach down in Texas. He thinks Jeff Choate too. Freddie Banks, Blue and Gold.
Got another Freddie?
Yeah. Bobby Daly. 2 votes for Bobby Daly. That's a good question. And I think that's going to take it for me on the Golden Coolies. Like Rootin' for the Cats, 5 posts. And you got a lot of people to bite on that one. That's a really good one.
You start thinking about who you want to pick as a winner. I got one question on Twitter, which I don't think will be the winner. But so okay. Why don't you think about that while I ask you this one?
I just told you what it was. Rooting for the Cats. That's who I'm choosing.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't hear that part. Okay. The one question we have on Twitter, we didn't get a lot of traction on this one on Twitter. We got Brant BC 406789. I wonder if that's is that Brant Brooklyn?
BC
406789. Do you think Grebe gets held a lot? Yes. Brody Grebe gets held nonstop every single game. He gets armbarred to death.
Yeah, I think it was listening to some sort of commentary about that just the other day. Like, I think it was Coulter was saying, like, the fact that Montana State did not get any holding calls called for them was outrageous. He's like, I don't care who you say, we have the video to back this up. Yeah, Brody Grebe was held all the time. It was weird.
It made me do a stupid deep dive on it. When something happens so much that you start like researching it, that alone is a red flag. But I don't remember what the results were. I have the spreadsheet somewhere. Like MSU got like the opponents got called for holding Montana State like three times the entire year. It was stupid. It was almost unreal. Like.
Yeah.
Is it because we're just blowing everyone out? They're like, yeah, whatever, just let them hold them. Like, they just want the game to end. They want to go home. There's no running clock in college. I don't know. Grebe in particular, and Skyline, you know, Brooks Nuanez does probably a great job of capturing these perfectly timed photographs. Like, just, like, that's holding. That's textbook holding. Like, constantly.
It was maddening.
It was maddening. I was like, somebody throw a flag. I don't care if you pick it up.
And it wasn't just in like the games where we were playing like the McNeese States of the world. It was like Weber in Northern Arizona where you're like pulling your hair out. You're like, oh my gosh, that was a hold.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Good question. But I'm still going rooting for the Cats. That was a sweet catch. And woo! Question, not catching. I call
catching. Lance McCutcheon.
That Lance McCutcheon, man. I hope he makes the team. You think he's gonna make the team?
I mean, he has made the team.
Yeah. Do you think he's gonna get playing time? Like, say playing time this year? Yeah.
It's a little bit harder with Cooper Kupp healthy.
It's a good point. We should do a segment. I was just thinking about this today, like Bobcats in the pros. Like, we got a lot of those.
We got
like
enough
try to get some to like
start talking about it.
Well, I don't know. It did. All right, let's run down a couple. Like, give me like 2 minutes. What's going on with Talcata?
So you're gonna spring question on me that requires research, and I have not up to date on this. Talcata, as far as I know, is still on the practice squad for the Seahawks.
What about Campbell?
I think he got cut.
Okay. Lewis Kidd's still playing, right?
Lewis Kidd's still a Saint. Yep. He's still on the roster, like the active 53-man roster, I'm pretty sure.
Troy Anderson's going to be starting.
He's going to be all league, if not this year, next year.
Okay. Who else have we got going on? Daniel Hardy.
We got some good playing time in the preseason. He's still on the active 53.
Okay. Callahan O'Reilly.
XFL. Yeah.
Yeah.
He got drafted by the Battlehawks.
Kevin Cassis.
Got cut. Lots of Seahawks. Like Bobcats and Grizz both end up in Seattle a lot for some reason.
Yeah. All
right. Patrick anybody McConnell's else over there.
Trey Webb? Can you resurface anywhere?
No, I haven't seen Trey Webb pop up anywhere. I feel like we are missing somebody, but that's all I can think of at the moment.
All right. I think that's it, buddy.
All right. Well, that was fun. That was the offense to the defense from last week. That was the defense to the offense. We just talked about it. I just call it the offense again. Anyway, now you have both a defense preview and an offense preview. There you go, Bobcat fans. Hope everyone out there is excited for the season to start as we are. I feel like it's going to be a special season. I'm very excited to get back into the podcasting groove. I'm bummed I will be gone for the first two games, but you're in good hands with Ryan Foley, Tom Stuber, and various other guests that we have potentially in the hopper. We'll see. Thanks again to our new Golden Cooley segment sponsor, Wilbur Ellis, Shea Richter over there. Appreciate that. We'll be hear more about them in the coming episodes. Thanks everyone to listen for. I always say that every time. Thanks everyone to listening. It doesn't make sense. Thanks
just
everyone.
Go with it. Just go with it
for listening. Now it's in my head. Now it's like my thing. It's just something that's going to happen forever. Thanks for all the Golden Cooley questions. We appreciate that. Really makes for fun content for us. Gets us thinking about things we may not be thinking about. We appreciate that. You can always shoot us questions on Twitter, X at RRCatCast, on BobcatNation.com, recurring Golden Cooley thread we have there, or just the other CatCast release thread where I post new episodes. That one's fine too. RRCatCast@gmail.com is our email address. We have a website, RRCatCast.com. And Foley, man, that's it. Let's get out of here. Go Cats.
Go Cats.
Go Cats.